Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, My Son, the General.
We are your host of TMI.
Tamika and My Son's information, truth, motivation, and inspiration.
New name, new energy, but
same old us.
What's up, My Son?
How you feeling?
Good. We got a big show today. It's a lot to discussed.
Big.
So our guest is a friend.
A friend.
That's one thing we brought over from Street Politicians to TMI that's still
we keep our friends.
Our friends are doing really powerful things, you know? And so a friend is coming in, but it's a friend who's in a very powerful position in our society. And so I look forward to interviewing him. And because we have so much to discuss, I think it would do us some good to just kind of get into the show and not have an argument at the onset. Like,
I mean, what does that mean? I don't really create arguments.
Yeah,
I just defend myself. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Because for the most part, I'm always being attacked.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't know that this is a room for iWomen TV is full with women. And they are attacking me. They beat on me every time. Everything I do wrong.
They physically beat on you?
No, not physically.
That's all about.
Well, not physically.
Don't make up.
No, not physically. There's no physical. There is a mental and emotional lashing that I deal with.
No, it's not.
Tamika becomes my mother on here. She tells me how to say the words, how to pronounce them. She stops me. Y'all don't see this stuff that I got to deal with. That's what I deal with.
It's for your betterment.
I guess.
It's for the
good. That's why I don't really, quit. That's why I'm still here because, if I thought it was for my betterment, I would quit. Mm-hmm. I would just say, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Okay, well, we should quit Groundhog Day. No, I'm serious.
It's tradition.
The reason why I thought about that is because the weather is literally going to kill us. Like, seriously, it's really going to kill us. Every single day, the weather changes so drastically that you don't know exactly what you're supposed to be wearing. And it is freezing cold. It seems like everywhere else across the country that I'm talking to family members and friends, they are in almost summer condition. They got on like a sweatsuit and that's it. I literally, the last few days, have had on full winter clothes. And I would have put a scarf on my neck if it were not for the fact that like I didn't want to look crazy, right? So I was like cold, trying to be cool. Thank you. Shout out to Black Effect for sending us those jackets, because at least it's like a real almost winter coat. It's like the in between.
We got it.
I've been wearing that jacket every day, no matter what I have on, because it's like a little thick. And I'm just trying to figure out Groundhog Day, right? This is really my thought of the day. The groundhog be missing a lot. Not all the time, but the groundhog, it don't always work.
Because you don't realize we just have a lot of symbolism in America. A lot of the shit that they told me, it don't work. It never really works. And it's just like the weatherman is off 90% of the time. He's gotten better.
Ideas.
He's gotten better.
No, the weatherman be over the years.
The weatherman, because it was times when you go outside and the weatherman has said something that ain't happened. I done stayed home from school for storms that never came. That you be looking out the window like it's supposed to be crazy, and it never came. And it just missed us by 2 inches. It was supposed to come. And you know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of symbolism shit in America that just don't make sense, and it really doesn't add up. And I think the groundhog is one of those things that the good white people in America who seen this groundhog, he obviously has some level of.
It worked at one point.
Yeah, I want to look at.
No, it probably worked. I don't know if it really worked. Well, yeah, because I mean, I can remember times when the groundhog did work. And it's true. It's true. We should really look at the history
of
how
the
groundhog started and try to understand it, because it doesn't always work. Nothing is 100%. We already know that. But this is why I'm saying that we should quit the groundhog.
Yeah,
right. This is truly my thought of the
groundhog. I don't think he have anything against us quitting him. I don't think he wants people just looking at him and he come out of this little hole
and then run off.
Yeah,
wherever.
He don't want to deal with
but
that shit.
Being captured to be held.
Yeah,
to,
he don't want
to
deal with
have
that.
To see if he sees a shadow or
why
not.
Why the animal cruelty ain't saying nothing about
right.
the groundhog?
I wonder. I mean, we really do need.
Are
to
they saying so?
It.
Listen, man, what they doing to that poor groundhog is messed up.
I don't think it's the same. We should find out, because I'm going to be ignorant.
Even if it's a
but
different
I don't even
one,
know
every
if it's
year,
the same one.
Leave him alone.
But this is the real
that
question that I have.
That man wasn't going to his house. He probably got to use the bath. All type of shit. Y'all just grabbing the
what are you talking about? His house.
He okay. got a house. His little
Sir,
cubby.
That is created for the experiment.
No, but they took him from somewhere to put him
he's in
there.
The wild.
Yeah,
you don't know house.
He did. Listen,
what are
the
you
little hole
about?
And all that. That's where they live at. That's the reason why.
Somebody
going to
use the bathroom in a house. My issue with the groundhog situation is how much money do we spend to produce that little thing that they do? I just want to know, like, how much does it cost? It's in Pennsylvania, and I just want to know what goes into it. How many people are paid? What are the structures? Like, what's the budget for producing the groundhog moment that fails often, and people do not really know whether or not the weather is going to be determined by what the groundhog sees?
Well, it's probably like a holiday in Pennsylvania, right? So Groundhog Day is probably something that people pay to come to be a part of Groundhog Day.
Do they mean it?
They might.
So you all know that our show is called TMI, which a lot of people, when they first hear it, they're like, oh, TMI, like, too much information, but no, it's Tamika and my son's information. However, one of our segments is called Too Much. And for the Too Much segment today, I want to talk about this swatting issue, right? A lot of people don't understand what swatting is, except I watched a show about it. I don't know if it was a documentary, but it certainly was a movie, and it was definitely on one of these platforms, might have been Netflix. And it happened to Cardi B recently, where her home, she was swatted, which means that someone knows your address and they call the police and tell them that you have, you know, you just you dealing drugs, or there's a body in your house, there was a murder or something, which will pretty much summons the SWAT team to your home. Now, anybody that's ever seen a SWAT team, if you know anything about what that looks like, it is no joke. Like a SWAT team, when they run down on you, they come in with trucks, guns out, people moving into your space. It looks very similar to what folks saw at Diddy's house recently. Same thing at Puff's house. So how homes, that's what it looks like when a SWAT team comes. Sometimes there are helicopters. Mm-hmm. There's certainly all types of technical devices. They come in, and by the way, most of them come with no-knock warrants where they busting through your door. They're not giving you time to think, to do, or whatever. They running up in your shit, and they tearing up everything until they get to a conclusion. You could be sitting there saying, as Cardi said, she was like, I'm Cardi B. They was making her get naked, basically almost stripping her while she's explaining to them, I'm Cardi B. Sometimes these officers, especially depending on where you live, you dealing with a bunch of white officers or a bunch of officers that don't know shit, don't care. And even if they know who you are, they don't care. They have no consideration or understanding about who you are and what you do and that you're an entertainer. Somebody said you doing drugs, gun dealing, whatever out this house. They do not care. And they go through your shit and tear your house up. The question that I think and let me go back. So in the SWAT, I don't know if you ever saw this, the SWAT documentary or movie. There were some young people, mainly young white kids, boys, young men, young white men, who were doing it all the time to their neighbors, to other people that they're playing video games. But I think that's kind of how it started, that they would be playing video games. And if they lose or if they get upset in the midst of the game and they knew the address of the person, the virtual person, you know, the person on the other side of this virtual experience, mm-hmm. they would call and do a SWAT call on them. And then the police show up in the middle of the person playing the game. And this was like real life. And they be sitting there playing the game, and all of a sudden the police is like, boom, 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 or they coming straight through the door. So they did this so many times that several of them were arrested. It became an addiction. And that's several crazy. People were arrested for it. One guy, he was arrested. His parents was like, what the hell? His grandmother, I believe, began to realize that he was doing some weird shit in the basement. Because you know, they be in the basement doing weird stuff. Weird. So she was doing... He was doing some weird stuff, and the grandmother was like, she figured he had something to do with this. The boy went to jail, spent time in prison for swatting people. I don't know if that's really what it's called, but I'm gonna call it swatting people. And then he got out of jail and did it again. Like, he could not stop.
It was an addiction.
But the last time that he did it, when the police showed up at some brown people's home, it wasn't a white family. It was some brown people's home. They showed up. The father or the son, whatever, a man in the house. I guess the way in which he approached the police or how he probably was like, yo, what the fuck? They killed him. And the young man who sent the police there, he was charged with like some serious crimes, and is probably going to spend a long, 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 long,
yeah, that's
long, long
felony time murder, because in the commission of a felony, a life was lost because you committed a felony by falsely calling that person. So you actually responsible for the death of the person.
And it's so crazy. And it's like, bruh, like,
that's just y'all crazy. Like, why do people want it? Yeah, it's just too much.
Like you do way too much. So, but then the larger conversation here is, is law enforcement doing too much? But then what if someone knows that you or I are kidnapped or we're somewhere and someone tries to report it, and then they don't take it seriously and they approach it with soft gloves, like, do you have a body in the house? Because somebody called and said, and then you like, well, no, I don't have a body in here. But
I mean,
you do.
Well, the thing is, like, I don't blame the officers, because they're doing their job. Because exactly, if somebody makes a call with that level of you know, Haney is talking about something, a murder or somebody being kidnapped or something to that degree, that we need that level of action. But the fact, the accountability has to be very strong. The accountability, when you find out somebody's lying and they sending that type of, you know, they making us send out that level of military to people's homes, that's taken away. That's taxpayers' money, like thousands of dollars that people going out, people's lives are at risk. So if they find that you lying about that, I think it should be some very steep consequences.
I agree. I think it should be steep consequences 100%. And I want so bad to find a way to say that law enforcement could do X, Y, or Z, right? Like, I want to find a way that they can, if they got to knock down a door and go in, cool. But I need them to say, let's not go in and start tearing the walls out without understanding who we're dealing with. Unfortunately, there might be somebody behind a door with a weapon and they do have to protect themselves. But I wish there was some type of balance now that we know that swatting is a thing. Because then what? Like, now this man is dead. The man was killed because, first of all, when law enforcement approaches people of color, they come with a level of aggression that they do not have when they're dealing with their own or not their own, because the black officers have the, or somehow they find
a way to calm down. There's a training inside a lot of these institutions that train you that black people are dangerous. And they even train you as a black person.
Brown people are dangerous.
And black and brown people are dangerous. So they train, that's how they train. When they're showing images of the criminals, right? Those images are black people.
They have done that. I mean, that is supposed to be changing within police departments, like within their training. They are supposed to, not show pictures of black folks and brown folks. But that was at one point a really big issue. And so it certainly criminalizes folks who, like, off the back, you're criminalized. Even if you're wearing a suit, it doesn't matter. It's the color of your skin. It's the neighborhood you come from. It's all of those things, of course, you know, the zip code that you're in. And so, you know, those who are making the phone calls need to know, and I hope that this is not a thing that young black kids pick up on and start doing it, because you going under the jail. For sure.
For sure. So today's music spotlight comes from a young girl from Highbridge, from my hood.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I actually happened to be in the video. Aww. You know, yes, I grew up with her mother and her uncle, like, they from the hood. She remixed A Boogie's Did Me Wrong, and it's called No Bully Zone. Shout out to Embroidery Kings. They provided the hats and the gear for the video. It's a dope video. It's a really dope video.
What's her name again?
Her name is Princess Soraya.
Princess Soraya. How old is she? She's a kid?
She's probably about 8 or 9.
Oh, okay. So yeah. She's a baby.
And the energy is just like her talking about, she got so much swag with it, but she's talking about how, you know, you tried to bully me. We could have been cool, and you was trying to bully me. And this is a no bully zone. We don't want to be around bullies. It's people that love each other here. So it's energy. And then it's her talking about how Highbridge got all the swag and how we the best. So I love it. It's a personal
thing. She's a rapper?
She's a young rapper. I think, I'm not saying she's a rapper, but she got a song.
So is she rapping in the
she's
song?
She's rapping in the song.
Okay.
I think she's more into modeling, but I think she found the lane with this song and probably do more music.
Well, you got to be multitasking.
Yeah, she's multifaceted. But if you watch her, she moves like a model. If you go to her Instagram, follow her on Instagram, Princess Soraya, you'll see she does modeling all the time. And the song took off on the internet. So just want to give her a shout out for some positive music.
The Princess Soraya.
Yes.
So next up, we're going to hear from our guest. Like I said, I'm quite excited to have our friend.
My boy, my bro, BX Finest.
Who is a congressman in the United States, these United States of America. And it's a lot for us to talk about. We're covering everything. We're talking about the TikTok ban. We're talking about the MAGA influence over our country and what will happen with the Republican party. We're talking about DEI. I mean, there's so many issues on the table right now, and it is so good to have in studio someone who can take us through the ins and outs of what's happening with our government.
Sure is.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350 plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s. Dance away with hip hop beats and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
So we are privileged, honored today.
Yes.
To be joined by
the bro. We got the bro in the building.
You know, he's the bro to us, but to a lot of people across this country, and particularly my parents who live in his district in Co-op City in the Bronx, you know, you are actually very important. And a lot of people depend on you to make good decisions. And to be an advocate for the people and not just for yourself. And so I'm grateful. We have now become really good friends. We talk all the time. And I think, you know, there's something to be said about people like you, a congressman or a congressional person, a person who has been elected to public office, who picks up the phone. Like when people are calling, because both of us are like,
not
not picking up the phone is a thing. You and I have actually had to have that conversation about different people. I'm like, well, I called congressman or woman so-and-so or senator such-and-such, and you got to track them down and call 15 times and then start threatening the protest and sending letters and doing everything. It's like, oh, wait, I missed it. You don't miss it too much, because you know you could call a person back at least, but you are a, like, in real time, yo, yo, what's up? Tell me the issue or let me break it down for you and explain to you what you don't know. And I think that's pretty powerful. And you had that relationship before I even
met
Congressman.
The congressman, you know, I have actually met him. I went to the school where he was the principal at.
Yeah.
And there was an issue, and one of the teachers had brought me in, and I talked to the young boys. We had a round table meeting, and because in that area, there are just different communities that have been beefing for years.
Right.
And those beefs carry into the school. So we sat at the table, and a lot of them didn't even know why they was beefing. They just know this side over here, don't mess with this side. Yep. That's just what it is.
Yep.
And they've inherited these beefs. So, you know, I went in there to facilitate. I sit down with the young boys, and we came to a lot of agreements.
Yeah, I remember that. It's been a while, long time. So
we've been outside. We've been outside.
And so you've been elected to Congress since 2020, yes. Sworn in 2021. You served the 16th congressional district, which is the Bronx and Westchester. So tell us more about your background.
Yeah, who is Jamal Bowman? Black man in America, Pauline Bowman's son. Educator, father, husband, just trying to do good work. You know, I was blessed to work in education for 20 years before I ran for Congress. I started my career in the South Bronx as an elementary school teacher before becoming a high school dean of students at the High School for Arts and Technology in the MLK campus. I was there for 3 years. And it was there that I, you know, pursued school leadership, wrote my own proposal, submitted it to the city, and opened up CASA, where we met. And I was there for 10 and a half years. So Black man in America, Pauline Bowman's son, educator, and just trying to change the world, particularly for our people and marginalized people.
How old are your children?
22, 14, and 9. Maya's about to be 10, April 17th.
So what made you make the transition from educator to elected official?
Yeah, when you work in education, you realize everything that happens in public schools is based on policy. These are policy decisions made at the local level, at the state level, at the federal level. And then financial decisions are also made at the local, state, and federal level. So when we talk about underfunded schools, we're talking about policy decisions made by people in elected office. And when we talk about underfunded and under-resourced communities, it's the same thing. And when you work in education, you know, parents send their best children to your school, right? So whatever the community, whatever's going on in the community, that's going to land in your school. So, you know, kids with food insecurity, housing insecurity, entanglement with the criminal justice system or in gangs, lack of resources, lack of community centers. Like, I couldn't believe, and still, we have a lack of community centers in places like the Bronx, Mount Vernon, Yonkers, etc. So, you know, we did good work in our school, but kids still had to go home. And then particularly the year before I decided to run, I saw a rise in violence, and I saw a rise specifically in mental health challenges in the community. And I first saw that rise with young girls who started to commit self-harm at a higher rate. Mm-hmm. And it was concentrated amongst Latinas, young Hispanic girls. And I started like just doing research on what was going on here. And so that's what was happening in my school, rising self-harm, rising suicidal ideation. But then around the school, 34 kids died within the K-12 school system in the Bronx, 17 died by suicide. Mm-hmm. One 14-year-old in Co-op City, she was being bullied in school, went to school officials to talk about it. No one really helped her. She went to the top of a building after school and jumped off right after school.
Lord have mercy.
And they arrived at the street in New Rochelle. Girl stabs another, kills her right down the street in another school near the Bronx Zoo. You know, LGBTQ student tired of being bullied, stabbed a kid, killed him. This is the same year where in the South Bronx, this kid Junior got jumped, case of mistaken identity, beat to death. Same time Parkland school shooting happened. And this is Trump's first year in office. And I had done work with elected officials around all of these issues throughout my career, but I realized that they didn't have the background and expertise to really understand what was going on with kids and what was going on with families and connecting it to policy. And the elected official at that time was completely absent and completely ignoring what was going on in our community. So, you know, I had seen sort of, you know, the movement that kind of Bernie started in 2016. And then 2018, the whole squad got elected. So AOC, Ayanna, Ilhan, and Rashida. And AOC was right next door to me in the Bronx and still is. And so that watching them gave me a footprint of the kind of politics I wanted to do. Like I what I want to speak to, what I want to fight for, what I'm all about, you know, working class people, marginalized people, black and brown people, et cetera. And so I decided, you know, after I got my doctorate early 2019, I was like, you know what? I think I'm gonna go for it. And I had no idea how to run for office. I was just like, I counted the votes. The year before or the election before the 2020 cycle, he had won with only 20,000 votes. And there was 440,000 elected Democrats in that district. So I realized people weren't voting. People weren't voting probably because no one talked to them. Probably they were disengaged.
Yeah, they like it like that.
So I was that's a strategy. So my thinking was I could knock on more than 20,000 doors myself and get people to vote.
Easy.
So that's what so I jumped out and did it and got a lot of support. And we were able to win big election in 2020.
Wow. You talked about AOC and the squad. You know, I noticed that since you joined Congress, you chose a difficult route. You went straight for the super progressive side. You're with the folks that are, you know, they being attacked for everything. And sometimes they are the ones doing the attacking because it's necessary, right? Like somebody has to be has to push the envelope for real. And so why did you go that route? Like, why not just go hook up with the moderate Democrats or the ones that's kind of in the middle so you could have a easier path through your beginning stages, at least?
It's just who I am. And I mean, I was a kid who got in a lot of trouble in school. You know what I'm saying? So like I didn't, you know, I got in a lot of trouble in school when I was in high school. You know, you talk about beefs with kids, you know, when you can't go to this project or this. You go to this project, you get caught
so
up
in something. You weren't perfect.
Hell no. I went to 3 high schools to graduate. I had to leave New York City to graduate because it was crazy. I went to high school at First August Martin. Got into a situation there with some shooting. Transferred out of that. Went to Humanities High School. Got in a beef with kids from Chelsea. Pretty much fighting every day. Got my report card, failed every class. Was like, I got to get out of here. And I was lucky because a lot of people ain't lucky. They can't leave. My father lived in New Jersey and I was able to go live with my father and finish high school. And I literally had a chance to reset my life because I was away from the city. And so I got lucky and that got me through. But no, it's who I am. I mean, even as an educator, you know, I've been, you know, in trouble a couple times when I was a principal just because the status quo ain't working. Like, kids are dying. People are dying. People are suffering. Inequality. All the issues we know. And there's no way I'm going to go in there and just keep doing that thing.
Same thing.
It has to be something different. Mm-hmm. It has to be disruptive in a good way. I mean, John Lewis's legacy is all about good trouble. So if we're going to follow the legacy of the people's shoulders we stand on, it's about being disruptive in a good way. And then the last thing I'll say is, when you talk about how the resources are disseminated in our country, the wealthiest country on earth, our communities continue to be marginalized and left behind. And again, this is not because we don't got the money. We got the money. We choosing to invest it in the military industrial complex and weapons contractors and jails more than we are people. So people who can't afford childcare, healthcare, housing, not getting work, not earning enough in their jobs, food insecure, whatever the case is, there's money to help them. And if you help them, they actually help the economy and the political system. But we so built on racism and sexism and discrimination and maintaining that caste system. That's why that new movie Origin is so powerful. Our political system is designed to maintain that. And so you got majority white men from certain backgrounds in Congress. They're going to make decisions to maintain that. First time they get a black man, a person of color representing them, they redraw the lines and take 108,000 black people away.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. And it's not by accident. Like, now that I'm in Congress, I realize powerful special interests control the whole thing. And we there pushing back against that, which is why they come after us the way they do.
Speaking of controversy and you being with the controversial team, You know, the controversy.
The turn up squad.
The turn up squad. You know, this TikTok ban that they voted on, you were one that voted against it. You know, their position was that it threatened national security, China's not allies, and you have a very different position because we definitely know that we're dealing with censorship. You know what I'm saying? And our kids are the ones that's on it, and they're vocal. This is, especially on TikTok, a lot of the pulse of our kids with their voices and what they think is on it. So give me some insight on why you made that.
Yeah. First of all, why now? Like, when we first allowed TikTok to operate in our country, we didn't know if it was really true. We didn't know that China may have the ability to commit espionage through TikTok. We didn't know that when we first made that decision. So why now from that perspective? But then also, why now in terms of it's an election year, young people are using TikTok way more than everybody else. They are building their own political power on TikTok. They are becoming more politically engaged than ever before. People have small businesses on there, more people of color on there. The algorithm's more aligned to building community and power. And so now we're talking about banning it right before an election? It doesn't make any sense to me. We were talking about it last year, and we were out front last year and saying no, we're against the ban as well. But the most important part is we got privacy issues on Facebook, absolutely, on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube, on Google. We have privacy issues. They sell our data third party all over the world right now as we speak. I know for a fact China uses Facebook to get most of its information from us way more than TikTok right now as we speak. So why are we only talking about TikTok and not talking about privacy legislation for all of social media?
Across the board.
Across the board. That's all I've been saying. Let's have a comprehensive public conversation about all of social media, figure out how can we keep kids safe, figure out the mental health piece, figure out the safety piece and our third-party data, give us the opportunity to opt out of having our data sold, but they're using our data for their own bottom line to gain wealth and revenue. And so let's do something comprehensive when it comes to all of social media. Yeah. Let's not keep isolating TikTok.
So, I mean, your prediction, TikTok is banned, if it is.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
How does that impact the election? Because I'm confused as to why we would want
especially Democrats
to disenfranchise young people who are already pissed.
When we disenfranchise voters, it benefits Republicans. Mm-hmm. And right now, the Republican Party is a fascist, racist, MAGA party that cares about power.
Really?
And that cares only about power, and they don't care about democracy, right?
They like black people. They just for black people.
New sneakers and all that, right? Yeah. Oh. It's wild. So it makes no sense to me that Democrats would go along with this right now, because those young people, even when they piss at us, they're more likely to vote for us when they do come out. And so we need to figure out a way to engage them and pull them into the process. And TikTok is one way to do that. So we'll see what happens in the Senate. It moved out the House. We'll see if they could get 60 votes in the Senate to ban it. Or it's not an outright ban. It's ByteDance, the company that owns it, has a affiliation with the Chinese Communist Party. Mm-hmm. And so the bill is ByteDance, you have to sell TikTok to an American company if you want to continue to operate in the U.S.
But I just would love to know. So tell us really quickly, this was not a question we were supposed to ask, but what's the process of who could buy it, right? Because I bet you the devil is right in that detail right
there. Yeah.
And I've already heard, I don't want to speculate, and clearly we don't know the process, but I've already heard of the types of people who are attempting to buy it. So what's that process look like?
Well, I'm not a businessman, so I don't really know what that process looks like. But if the government is saying you got to sell it within 180 days, then we're going to oversee that process in some way. We don't know the details of that yet.
What department oversees it?
It will theoretically, on our side, on the House side, it would be the Committee on Energy and Commerce, ENC. But we'll see. We got to stay tuned on that.
So moving from TikTok to hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? Yes. You've created, or you were one of the people who created the Hip Hop Task Force. And yes. What is that about?
I mean, we need to build political power within hip hop culture. You know, hip hop is, it's an art form. It's a musical genre. It's culture. It's clothes. It's marketing. It's a lot of different things. But for me, it was the genesis of my identity. And it was the thing that helped me to evolve into the person I am right now. And so how do you harness the power of that into something that could build not just economic power, because we make a lot of money for other people mostly, but how do you harness that into political power that then is used to change legislation in our country at a national level, state level, local level? And so, you know, and you heard me on the call the other day, you know, KRS-One, Rakim, Chuck D, Brand Nubian, X-Clan, Big Daddy Kane. These are artists who like aren't just rap artists. They're like philosophers. They're like griots. They're like poets. They're creative, innovative geniuses. And they're visionaries. And so, you know, when we talk about when KRS-One mentions, you know, hip-hop as a revolutionary tool to change the structure of racist America, like that, I still live by those words. When Rakim says, with knowledge of self, there's nothing I can't solve. Like that, those words literally guided me throughout my entire life towards searching for Black knowledge that was taken from us when we were brought here as our ancestors were brought here as enslaved people. And so how do you harness the power of that politically? I don't know yet, but we're going to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? And so working with you and working with many others who are already doing incredible work in the community, how do you harness that towards lasting, sustainable political change? Because, you know, when we talk about all the issues we care about, affordable housing and redlining, hip-hop deals with that. Domestic violence, hip-hop deals with that. Justice reform, police brutality, hip-hop deals with that. Wealth inequality, hip-hop deals with all these issues directly. Hip-hop holds the mirror of America up to itself and says, right. Look at yourself.
That's right.
This is what you are. I am what you made me. Pac said this. This is what you made me. Now deal with me. So I'm going to do my part as a member of Congress, hopefully, to bring the culture in to help me write legislation and pass legislation and then leverage the power of the fans and the supporters and the money to really build sustainable political power. It's just, to me, the sky's the limit there. To me, hip-hop is the rebirth of Black civilization in America. Look at where it came from. Like, you tried to, you burned down buildings, you created the conditions where kids in the Bronx and kids in all inner cities, kids in all inner cities will kill themselves. They, you know, the system continues to create conditions where they hope we kill ourselves. Mm-hmm. And what do? We become reborn.
We do
kill ourselves too.
We do it.
But the essence of who we are continues to be reborn. So.
No, absolutely. We do. And it's not just violence.
It's not just violence. It's culture.
The over-sexualized nature of like some of our music.
We have issues. Yeah. Like to act like we don't have issues with hip hop and its culture, but it would be I would just be dishonest to say that, because it's definitely over-sexualized. It's definitely, you know, there's a glorification of violence within it. You know, but to not acknowledge the voice and the reach of it and saying if it's harnessed right, as we grow in that, if we take the minds of these young kids who are embracing the culture and we lead them right, because we were misleading because we were misled.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So and that's what my goal is now, to teach so that these young kids have the understanding. Like, we're doing programs in school from drill music to build music, in which we're taking the same energy and everybody who's spinning the block and killing and got the blick, we ain't putting that. We want you to talk about the reality that's going on in the community, but I don't want you to kill nobody. right? So once, because those things have been incentivized in this culture. There was a time, like you said, there was KRS-One and it was Rakim. Those were the major people in hip-hop. So people wanted to emulate that. When you stop emulating that, when you stop promoting that, and you stop showing us that vision, then you show them the only way you can make money is if you're killing and shooting somebody. Then that's what incentivizes them. So we like you said, that's one of the things I want to focus on with the hip-hop, you know, Hip-Hop Task Force is really taking the message and harnessing the same energy but changing the message and direction, because we know once you see it, you can be it.
Mm-hmm. It's on us to do it, yes. Too.
Right?
Like, it's on us to do it. We can't just say, oh, you know, dismiss those kids or marginalize those kids. It's on us to work with them. Right. On the other side of it, there's a policy connection here. Mm-hmm. Access to guns is due to lack of gun reform legislation at the federal level. How do we work with the hip-hop community and culture to change that particular policy so guns can stop being trafficked in our community? Poverty, right? So when we talk about the root causes of this violence we're talking about, it's all connected to policy. And many times, the young people are victims of this. Right? They're victims of a lack of access and opportunity in their communities. I mean, we're the only developed nation that doesn't have paid maternity leave. Right? So, you know, people are having families, they got to rush back to work, you know, have their child go to childcare, and childcare is unaffordable, right? So that's two policies right there. Lack of access to paid leave and lack of affordable childcare. How many of the kids we're talking about are suffering because they didn't have access to a nurturing environment when they were babies? Instead, they were born and raised into toxic stress and chronic trauma created by horrible policies that are actually violent policies. And then that kid grows up more likely to be in special ed, more likely to be incarcerated, more likely to be vulnerable enough to pick up a gun and cause harm in their community. So we got to do the policy stuff, and then we got to do the on the ground cultural piece as well.
So there are people who are like, see, that's why we shouldn't vote at all, because to hell with it. Like, the system doesn't work. And there's another narrative that I see is so sad to me, that our people, sometimes we own the narrative that has been pushed on us from white supremacists, from right-wing media. And so now I hear some black folks saying, oh, well, the Democratic cities are the ones with all the educational problems. That the schools in the Democratic cities, the poverty in the Democratic cities, it's the problem is the Democrats. I mean, these are black people.
Yeah.
Oftentimes black men who are saying gun violence and violence is a problem in Democratic cities. How do you respond to that?
I mean, it's not true. I mean, the life expectancy, healthcare outcomes, economic outcomes, and death by gun is higher in every Republican-led state, county, city. So that's just not
for
a
true. Everybody.
Yeah, correct. That's just not a true statement. At the same time, you know, the Democratic Party ain't, you know, like, ain't perfect. You know what I'm saying? Ain't doing everything right by us as well. The system is designed to maintain the caste system. That is designed for that. It's also designed to be changed if we get involved and we get engaged. So if I had that attitude that you're sharing, I would have never ran for Congress. I would have internalized a sense of despair and hopelessness and frustration that I completely understand from our people, because shit is hard out. Shit is
but if you just raise money, if you just focus on money, because again, this is
well, that, but
part
that's
of narrative.
Yeah, but that's part of the caste ideology. So if you focus on raising money, you could become a billionaire. But you still not, if you black, you still not at the top of that cast. Because it's two stories that come to mind for me. One, remember in the 60s when we was fighting and marching for civil rights and we got the Civil Rights Act passed and the Voting Rights Act passed, 50s, 60s? You know what they were doing on the other side? They were creating a microchip. So think about that. Like, they were creating the next revolution, next wave of scientific technology, and we were fighting for our humanity, right?
Damn.
Now, that's one example. The other example is we've had rappers for 20, 30 years talking about, you know, a billion, we want to make a billion. The goal is to get to a billion. We got how many billionaire rappers now? How close is that billion to the wealth of Jeff Bezos? Hundreds of billions. Gates, hundreds of billions, right? So we've been chasing what white supremacy has put in front of us as a carrot. Like, chase this thing over here.
A false sense of
accomplishment, false sense of utopia, false sense of accomplishment, false sense of success.
If you have everything and your people don't, you still have nothing.
Correct, right? So, but in reality, we have lost, our sense of self-determination and our identity has been stripped from us. So we have to connect back to that first and foremost. And through that, then we can self-actualize and manifest our magic in whatever way it manifests itself. It doesn't have to be $1 billion. It could be a million other things that we haven't even thought about yet. And so, it's the culture is, you know, it is what it is, but it's America. And it's on us to, in my opinion, connect with it and do something about it to change America.
I want to talk about the Biden administration accomplishments and the perceived and or actual failures, right? So there's a lot of stuff that's supposed to happen as slow moving, if at all. The George Floyd Justice and Policing Act is just, nobody's even talking about it. It's like that just disappeared. I don't know what happened. It just no more, right? Because we work in trends, unfortunately, in this country, that people are still dying, but yet they've moved on to something different. So talk about what you think are accomplishments, things that you all have worked on, things that the administration has been able to get done. And then we can kind of go into the, and I say perceived because some people are like, student loans, he didn't do anything. It's a failure, even though so much we see it is happening.
He did
happening.
A lot on student loans. Okay. So yeah. Great question. So first of all, Biden is a president. He has to work with legislators in order to pass legislation.
That's a fact.
So if people are only focused on Biden and don't even know who their Congress members are, that's a problem. Because those are the people we got to vote in and out to work on legislation that Biden's going to ultimately sign or not sign. So just wanted to put that out there. What has Biden done? The American Rescue Plan was huge when I first got into Congress. We were still dealing with COVID. We needed a vaccine. We needed to save education systems across the country. We need to save poor cities. We got people checks. We had unemployment extended. Like, American Rescue Plan saved the economy. That was a Biden accomplishment. Safer Communities Act is the first piece of gun legislation we passed in over a decade. A lot of resources for mental health, a lot of supports to communities that have been ignored when it comes to these issues. Huge, huge piece of legislation. The Inflation Reduction Act, $400 billion invested in climate, the most ever. Caps prescription drug costs, insulin drug costs at $35 a month. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And gives Medicare the opportunity to negotiate drug prices, which never happened before, and caps senior drug costs at $2,000 a year, which is a game changer. You ain't going to hear seniors saying what we hear people saying about Biden. You ain't going to hear that from seniors because they feel the effects. The infrastructure bill, which is historic investments in our infrastructure, $1.32 trillion to rebuild roads, bridges, and tunnels. A great bill. My problem with the bill is there wasn't enough equity provisions in it to make sure Black and brown people got those jobs, which is one of the reasons why I voted against it. And then the other bill, his other signature bill, is the Chips and Science Act. We're bringing semiconductor manufacturing back to our country, which means we're going to start building our microchips again, which is going to create thousands of jobs, if not millions, and re-empower us with our technology. And I personally love that bill the most, well, second most, because I have two amendments in that bill. One is for building community wealth through technology, and the other is for building worker cooperatives through technology. So whenever I'm dealing with legislation, I'm specifically thinking about the Bronx, Mount Vernon, Yonkers, and where Black and brown people live in my district, and thinking about what they need. So those are the amendments I wrote to that bill. So those are huge accomplishments. The challenge continues to be, how is that impacting people's pockets on a day-to-day basis? And those bills haven't come online yet to do that, except for seniors. With the other stuff, it's coming online slowly but surely, not at the rate we need it. What I wished Biden did more around was this issue of price gouging. So the reason why inflation is still higher than it should be is because corporations raised prices during COVID, and many of them never brought the prices back down, which is why people still can't afford
airlines,
all that stuff. This is why people still, which is why people still struggling so much to live. And, you know, people point to Biden.
That's legal?
Yeah. I mean, so we have a bill called the Ending Corporate Greed Act, which focuses specifically on this issue of price gouging. We want to hold companies accountable for price gouging, right? And we want them to open their books to show us what's going on in their companies so that we can see how much is going to profit and how much is going to the people. It's called the Ending Corporate Greed Act. That's something we would like the president to support. We talk a little bit about price gouging, but we don't talk about it enough. So the Republicans have run with the narrative that the reason why inflation is crazy is because it's too much government spending. No, it's because of price gouging. When you look at, I don't have the number in front of me, was it hundreds of billions of dollars that billionaires gained during COVID versus working class people? It's because of price gouging.
So Pookie and them said they was getting money.
That's what they said. They got their check.
They got their check. But that ran out, right?
Exactly.
And that ran out, and now,
the billionaires run out.
Correct. And we also have a system where, you know, like you see the monthly or quarterly celebrations of job growth, right? More jobs, we got more jobs. We still have underemployment, which means people aren't making enough money. So people may have jobs, but they're not making a prevailing wage. And part of that is because we have a system where if you're a large corporation, you get rewarded for buying your own stock to prop up the value of your corporation.
That's crazy.
Where you should be investing in creating paying wage jobs, living wage jobs for people, but they're not, and they're not held accountable for that. So a lot of our ire towards President Biden or the Democratic Party should go towards the corporations.
I say this all the time.
That are you know, destroying us right now economically.
So those things help Black people.
What's that?
The stuff you said that Biden did.
Yes.
They directly help Black, because that's what people are going to say. Yeah, whatever. So, what have you done for Black people?
Yeah. Exactly right. So, yes, they do. Here's a challenge, though. One, it doesn't help them fast enough. So that's a problem. So that criticism is well taken. For Biden and for all of us. It's not just Biden, it's the legislators. Here's the challenge, though. A lot of that money is made available in grants. So it's not just given. The American Rescue Plan was just given. It was given to Mount Vernon. It was given to the city.
It was given
to Yonkers. The stimulus checks, given.
Yes.
Certain things were given in the beginning. These bills have grants attached to them. So if you don't have a grant writer to go after the grant, you can't bring X program into your community. That's a major part of the problem. But again, it's not just it's the government side. It's the government. It's access and opportunity. It's the government side, but it's also the corporate side as well. And one of the challenges with Biden, particularly in this day and age, Biden is a capitalist. He supports, you know, large corporations and building wealth corporations and whatever. We could save that for another conversation. My point is, what are we doing to invest in working class people every day and support them so that they can afford childcare, housing, healthcare, transportation, utilities, et cetera? Utilities are crazy. Killing
everything.
Them.
Everything is really hot. No, seriously. I mean, this is a real problem. And yeah. I know people that will see this interview will say, still, how exactly does TT in Alabama, who lives in a trailer park, who's taking care of her kids, struggling, doing everything possible to survive, how does TT get money in her pocket? That's still, and until we can answer for that, because it's not your responsibility only or whatever. It's like you said, it's a full legislature. It's a lot of people involved in that. But until you can answer that question directly, you're going to have a lot of people who've just checked out. Yeah. And I'll give you an example of something that happened recently. I was talking to some cousins.
Before you do that, can I just make one quick counter argument? There are certain groups and lobbies that have incredible power in Congress because they vote every single election. Mm-hmm. They vote in every primary. They vote in every general.
They made itself a priority.
They may, right? So
because politicians care about money
and votes, right? And so if you say you not voting or you ain't participating, why do I care
it
about
makes
what
it
you,
easier for them to roll
to completely ignore absolutely. You? Why do I care about what you want or what you think?
You but telling I'll tell you me? This, but yeah. I'll tell you this. What I was going to give you this argument. So I was talking to some cousins on the phone. You know, having our little Sunday kicking around, doing, we still do Zoom and conference calls like COVID. And my cousin said, I said, you know, we got to get ready to vote. Country is crazy. This is serious, serious election. Got to do it. And she laughed and said, child, y'all live a different world. We down here hustling from moment to moment to survive. We was hustling when Trump was the president. We've been hustling since Biden is the president. It does not change for us. None of that stuff impacts our street, like where we're living and what we're suffering with.
But that's just the reality. The reality is, right, there is a demographic in this country that is not served.
That's right.
Right.
And we
sitting here making up a lie. They are for real. They are
that just nobody knocks on
they're so below the poverty line that they're not even counted. Mm. And it's a reality.
When I first got to Congress, we failed to raise the federal minimum wage from $7 an hour to $15 an
Simple
hour.
Thing. $7.
The federal minimum wage is now still $7.
And people and Democrats and Republicans alike allow it to happen.
I thought it was everywhere. So the federal minimum wage is still
$7? $7.25, I think.
Yeah, corporations have to take it upon themselves at this point. Or states like
New York State has it. You know, has done. I think it's 17 now.
Business owners come into this conversation because I've had several business owners say they cannot handle the increase in minimum wage for their employees. Yeah. So I mean, but to your point, and we're gonna move on because we only got one or two more things, and then I know we gotta cut this. But we knew that this would be a real powerful interview, and it has to you know between yourself and others like you, Congresswoman Cori Bush, and just a number of individuals who are in the federal government pushing to make progressive and radical change. Right, your voices need to be amplified because our people are bewildered, feeling disrespected, don't understand. Some people are confused. Other people are like, I'm not confused at all. My middle fingers is up to the whole jam. Like, I'm checked out completely. You know, and when you think about how many people are suffering, it's almost like nothing that we ever could say can make them feel better, especially on top of all of the financial issues, the police is still knocking them upside the head, right? The schools are still not properly educating their children properly. They are tired and worn out. And so I get frustrated because I'm like, we can't stay home. Not in this, people keep, I think the worst talking point is this is the most election, the most important election of our time. Every single election,
every school board,
city council, district leader, every single election is the most important election of our lifetime. And because we just start that when it comes to keeping Donald Trump out of becoming president, it's lost. You know what I'm saying?
Because it's lost the steam.
Yeah, it really
voter die, and all that shit is over.
I mean, slogans ain't going. we're not going to have a revolution from slogans, right? But to your point of myself and others in Congress, we're some of the few who don't get the middle finger.
All right.
Show up in community, people actually are excited and inspired to engage with us. They beat us down too, right? Y'all ain't doing nothing and we got nothing. What's going on? They do that, but they still engage and we engage with them because that's why we in Congress for them. I ran for Congress because of them. I ran for Congress because kids in the Bronx, Mount Vernon, Yonkers, New Rochelle, all were ignored, marginalized, and dying every day in our streets.
A quick question. I hate to cut you off. But this is a question that we want to know the answer to.
Uh-oh. Okay.
How do you deal with the black, whatever they call themselves, that
bourgeoisie
are completely on the other side black bourgeoisie. Of the building? Listen, you talking about radical on your side. They outside the building, down the hall, around this, behind the shrubs, hiding from a radical conversation. How do you deal with that?
I mean, it's, you know, I don't really deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, we got work to do, right? So I'm hyper-focused, me personally, I'm hyper-focused on the work we need to do. And, you know, Malcolm educated us on the bourgeoisie. Franz Fanon educated us on the colonized bourgeoisie. And for me, again, if we not going all out for our people and hurt people and marginalized people, we don't need to be there. We don't need to be in no elected office if we not trying to go all out for our people. And so, you know, that's what I'm all about. And that's why and it's not just words, it's legislation, it's money. One quick example, you know, horrible incident took place a couple of years ago in Mount Vernon. Girls from neighboring cheerleading squads got into some beef. It went to Snapchat. It got out of control. They decided they was going to meet and fight a block away from City Hall in Mount Vernon. One girl pulls out a knife, stabs one girl, kills her, stabs another one, critical condition. The one who did the stabbing is now gone for 15, 20 years, right? The other girl's gone forever. Family, community, never going to see her again. And one's in critical. I don't know how she's doing right now. So, you know, I show up at the mayor's office the next day. We have a community meeting, town hall, circle, trying to understand what the hell happened and why couldn't we stop this. In addition to that, we worked with them to bring in $1 million to create a program called Safe Place for Our Girls, mm-hmm. where now we're targeting middle school and high school girls in Mount Vernon to support them in their growth and development as young women. If someone like me wasn't in office, that doesn't happen. There's another incident. Young man, New Rochelle High School kid, gets into an argument with some other kid. Apparently fentanyl was involved. Kid pulls out a ghost gun, shoots the kid, kills him. I think the kid was 15 years old, shot by a 16-year-old. Again, one life gone, one life changed forever. Community changed forever. Show up. Meet with community, meet with teachers, parents, administrators, families, not just thoughts and prayers. Figure out how can I use my position, bring in resources to help this community. We brought in about $3 million for the Boys and Girls Club and the school district to work specifically with at-risk youth. If we not voting in every election, you not going to get someone like me in office doing that work with our most vulnerable communities. All you're going to get is thoughts and prayers, and that's it. And last thing I'll say on that is this is personal for me. Personal. I mean, shit. I must have been 11 years old, so it must have been like 87, 88. I got two older sisters. Both was dating drug dealers, you know. Big radios, all that, you know, 87, 88. One of them took me on a run uptown to the Bronx with them. I'm from Manhattan. Took me uptown on the Bronx for a run to go drop off something or pick something up, whatever it was. We get into an alley. He pulls out a gun, shoots in the air three times. Ba, ba, ba. He's like, here, you want to shoot it? I'm like, hell no. I was scared to death. I didn't want to touch that gun. But I tell that story to tell, like, from when I was 11, the issue of gun violence, senseless violence was going on in our community. It's been in my life personally, professionally. So now, obviously, I'm going to govern from that perspective. So now, because of the way I govern and we govern with community, we have some of the most powerful, wealthiest people in the country coming to take me out of my seat. Because we challenging that power. So we're challenging this power. So now AIPAC, Republican mega donors who support Trump and over 100 insurrectionists who are racist and support the mass murder that's happening in Gaza right now, they're coming to take me out of my seat.
And it's crazy. And it's crazy to me.
Simply because we fighting for black and brown lives.
That's it.
Here and in Gaza.
It's connected.
It's connected. It's white supremacy.
It's all connected, you know. And I just want to say that I commend you. Because when I talk about voting and I talk about who do we elect and people say, who are we supposed to elect and no party of this. And I'm not a party person. You understand what I'm saying? But the reality of the situation is I need the proper representation for me. I need to know that people get it. I need to know that there's somebody in these offices that understand my reality, that understand, that's been through the alleyway. Somebody shot a gun, that's been to had a couple fights in school and had to switch a school, that had to go through something to overcome something to actually understand and identify what it is these kids are dealing with. You can't govern our communities if you're not even you don't understand the realities that we have to deal with every day. So when I vote, it's for somebody like you. So I just want to commend you because I understand what it is that you represent. I understand the fight that you have against you because we fight against it every day. You know, so what I want to say is continue to fight. We're going to do everything we can to fight with you because this is what representation looks like. This is what our communities need. We need young boys that are at risk need to see somebody like you that's willing to come and argue with the people or take the abuse and deal with it because the reality is y'all just talking from your talking points and disrupt the community. You've never been in that community.
Yeah.
You having a conversation with me about what black people is and what hip hop is and what the culture is and what violence doesn't mean and y'all want to say no. Unfortunately, this is how we had to survive. So unfortunately, this was the only thing we had to survive and we didn't know anything else. Unfortunately, some of us had to go through things and actually overcome those things, you know? And so now we come from a perspective of lived experience and we want to help our kids get through that before they have to go through what we've been through. So I reject the notion that somebody outside of my community that's never been through can govern my community. I reject that notion. Mm-hmm. I reject that some white man that's never been in my community can tell me what's better for my community. I reject that. Mm-hmm. I vehemently reject that. And I want our community and our representation to look like the people that's inside those communities. Yeah. So I want you to tell us when is re-election? What is the strategy?
Yeah. Election day is June 25th. That's the primary. June 25th. Early voting starts June 15th. If you're not registered to vote, please register to vote by June 15th. That's the last day to vote in this election. And in New York State, I don't agree with the law, but you have to be registered with a party to vote in a primary. So if you want to vote in the congressional primary is June 25th.
Oh,
that's my primary.
Okay.
The presidential primary is next week.
Yeah,
it's happening right now. Yep. Mm-hmm. So for the congressional primary, June 25th, congressional primary, early voting, June 15th. Congressional primary, last day to vote, register to vote is June 15th. You could vote early beginning June 15th. You could do mail-in ballots, but not just in my election. You got to register in New York State. You got to be registered Democrat or Republican to vote. I'm saying registered Democrat in my district to vote for me because I have someone who has been a Democrat in his whole career, but he's partnering with racist Republican mega donors to take me out my seat, out this seat, the district seat. They had a whole campaign trying to switch Republicans to be Democrats to vote against me. So that's only happening because we're causing good trouble.
Exactly.
Like we're being disruptive.
They wouldn't go so hard. They wouldn't go so hard.
They're throwing everything at us right now. So June 25th, Election Day, June 15th, early voting. please register to vote Democrat in my district. At least register to vote, because we need people involved and engaged, because the federal government spends $450 billion a year on weapons, $900 billion for the military-industrial complex, and the second largest expenditure is jails. So they spend on war, they spend on jails. The only way to get them to spend on our people and our communities is to get involved and vote and change the whole game.
Congressman Jamal Bowman,
we appreciate you.
Thank you, man. So good to see you.
We got your back, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Such a very, very informative interview, and you have to come back. But you know, definitely. We out there with you. We're gonna make sure
you are friends. So you know, boycott Black murder
all day.
That's right.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350+ live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Well, that's enough said. I mean,
yes.
I don't know what
my
else
brother,
to say.
Listen, man, like, I things like that invigorate me to, you know, that have some little bit of hope, you know, because it's so few people that you can even vote for that even represent what it is, your mind state, that said, understands what the problem is and willing to fight regardless. And it's sad, because what we have to do and how we have to stand behind, we got to put everything we have, because That's not a popular thing. One is something different and one better for your community, and understanding the dynamics of your community and fighting for it all the time is not popular. Mm-mm. Like, they want you to forget where you come from. They want you to forget the realities. They didn't want you to just go along with status quo while our communities continue to fall apart and our young kids' education is shot and there's violence going on, and you not care about that. And you focus on, we just need money for the district so you could just keep funneling the same money to the same people.
Get reelected. Yeah, which you need people like Jamal Bowman to be reelected. So I just know that for people who are listening to this, this is a serious situation. And I think he said something. I mean, we could have done so much more with that interview. But he said something that I hope folks heard. He said, because we stand up for Black and brown people,
they put everything.
Then when we say ceasefire in Gaza, they come after us. But they're not only coming after us because of ceasefire in Gaza. They are also, they already had a target on you because of your advocacy and radical voice for Black and brown people.
It's so crazy to me that they use the word radical.
Well, I'm saying
radical. No, but that's the word that they use, though.
Well, the reason why I use the word radical is because I want to take the stigma from it. It should be used, and we should normalize saying it, because we do need radical, because progressive is not getting us enough. Progressive has been co-opted, by the way, by folks who...
Yeah, it means
who,
that you got to run instead of... They want to tiptoe.
No, well,
you
no.
Gotta
I
run.
Mean, progressives are literally... Progressives, many of them, are people that are also not from our community that are fighting for this whole pie theory, right? So it's sort of like one of our critiques about, well, one of my critiques about Bernie Sanders was this idea that if we just raised the entire, all the people, right? So the entire nation gets support and resources, then it will benefit every micro group, and that is not true. You have to have a very specific focus on Black folks if you want to, if you are a true fighter and believer in the success of our communities, you got to target us. You have to focus us, which is a whole thing around DEI that we have to do on another day, but which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. So, you know, I want to say radical because I don't care if they don't like it. Right?
No, it's not
like,
to me. The definition of radical means something that's so far gone and is so far left to a different.
Pushing us beyond.
To me, it's like, why is this pushing? Mm-hmm. Like, this shit is just common sense to me. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying, I'm not saying you shouldn't use it or care how they weaponize it, because fuck them anyway, you know. But that goes to my I don't get it. I'm just noticing, it's just so many things. You know, this internet and misinformation and the intentional spreading of misinformation is just at an all-time high. Like, people are just reposting and resharing and re-saying things that they have no clue about. Like, shit that just makes no sense. And you'd be like, you really didn't, did you even... think about that? Who told you to post that? And these are supposed to be reputable sites and reputable blog sites and reputable people. And they're just saying anything. And it's just like, I just fear for us that this misinformation age that we in is going to be the death of us.
It's misinformation and disinformation. And there are people who benefit from making sure that we are uninformed and misinformed. And I've been watching also over the last week or 2 weeks, misinformation, even around the situation with Diddy, that I don't know what the hell has happened. I have no idea. It is very alarming and very disturbing to hear the types of allegations that are out there about someone that I love. But nonetheless, I know people that I love that may have done something wrong. So I can't, I don't say because I don't know, but I certainly see misinformation even in that. And even when someone says, actually, we were wrong, people have taken whatever that thing was and they've gone with it. Yeah. And it is very, very dangerous. Not because any one of us can definitively say, oh, this or that and the third in that situation. That's not what we're here to discuss. But what it makes me worry about is that in an election season, what we're now learning is that if a blog site or even a news outlet, because even the New York Times has been found throughout the issue of the attack on Gaza, right? The New York Times has been found, by the way, put that to the side, even in my own life, the New York Times has been found to push propaganda and to report things that are actually unfounded and pure lies, right? So now we're in a situation where people can't even say, well, let me go look at media sources to get info. Because you don't even know whether those media sources are true or not. So they've been running for the last week. It was a whole thing about the shares of Puff sold the shares of his shares of Revolt. And Roland Martin is like, I'm talking to the people at the highest level, and that is actually not the case. And it's like, okay, cool, put that over here because that's people's personal business, whether he sells it, doesn't sell it, who buys it, how it all works out. Shout out to the family at Revolt. I pray for every single staff person that's there that I know are people who are trying to do their job despite all this other craziness that's going on. They are attempting to be a voice for Black America and try to get it right, right? So shout out to them. Much love to them. But let's say, put that over there. Imagine when people realize that all they got to do is say, you know, boo.
But that's what they realize.
And our people state it as fact.
But that's what I'm explaining to you. That is the era we are. That's why we have so many quote unquote internet influencers, YouTubers. They come on there with the most outrageous shit that's unfounded. Nobody fact checked them. Nobody looked it up. They just repost. People could come to you and say, oh, this is true. This is true. And you're like, where did you get that information?
Well, I want to believe, Mice, I want to believe that because of what women have suffered, right? Women have suffered abuse and discardment for a long time. And I want to believe that we are living in an era where some of our people are just like, we want to support those who may have been harmed. I mean, we see this going on across the board. Mm-hmm. People, young people, kids on Nickelodeon and but other how shows do you support
how do you support somebody by lying?
Well, no, well, what I'm saying is I don't know that folks believe that they are caught up in lies. I think they are really, there's some people that's just trolls and they idiots and that's it. But there are some people who are truly trying to advocate for what they believe is the underdog or the victim or the people advocate, who have been harmed.
You can advocate with the truth.
I believe that. But what like if you don't know the truth? And that means if you don't know the truth, what do you do?
Then you advocate and say, hey, this is such and such said this and I believe such and such. Right? But you can't push that as is a fact. Right? If somebody comes to you and say such and such happened to me and they say, this is my friend, I believe that and based on what my friend said, I believe it. But you can't come as fact and act like you was there.
The macrocosm is that we are in a time where you will take anything they say on the internet and say, well, they said.
And who's they?
And who is that?
Nobody never tells you who they is.
And it's a real dangerous thing.
It's dangerous.
So I just hope that we learn. That's what the minister's been putting out.
I told
out
you
there.
What I learned.
Learn.
I learned.
Learn. There's and a with lot that, to learn. Mm-hmm.
We've come to the end of another episode. Shout out to Congressman Jamal Bowman. We appreciate you. We appreciate our fans, TMI fans. Make sure that you go. Let us know what topics you want us to talk about, who y'all want us to interview. We're still the number one podcast in the world. Number one podcast. I'm not going to always be right. Tamika's not going to always be wrong. But we will both always, and I mean always, be authentic.
That's how we own it. That's how we own it.
Check out the video version of TMI.
Every single Wednesday on iWoman.tv.
That's how we own it!
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful Black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.